Good morning, guys. Thank you for tuning in to episode 36 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. If this is your first time joining me, welcome. I'm so glad that you are taking your time to listen to me. And if you are coming back, thank you so much for returning. I'm glad that you like what you hear. I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns and also on Instagram as Summer Yarns, and that is spelled S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. There is also a Ravelry group that I would love it if you would join. It is the I just knocked over an empty can. It is the very aptly named Kitchen Stitches group. Oh, and you can also find my blog at kitchenstitches.com, but really all I use that for is just to upload the podcast. Every once in a while, I will do show notes. It really all depends on how much time I have. And considering that typically I record my episode on Wednesday mornings before I go to work, if I want to get it recorded and published and everything, I just generally don't have time to do show notes. If there's something very special, then I will. So let's get into today's podcast. I'm going to tell you what I've been up to, my works in progress, spinning, finished objects, spinning, cross stitch, enabling acquisitions, a couple of giveaways, and in the kitchen. So what have I been up to? Other than crazy work life, which I've mentioned several times, we're in the middle of a very big project. Our launch date for our new website, I'm sorry, I'm rattling stuff around, trying to move my computer slightly out of my way so I can hopefully get better sound. Okay, the launch day for our website is this Friday, so 2 days from now. We are in absolute crunch time. Actually, today is the last day that we can make any changes. Phew! We are, I'm actually working at home today, so I'm recording this before I get bogged down in all of my work stuff. But, today we have to go in and finalize all of the changes. It's not perfect. You know, it's a big project and there will be little things that still need to be tweaked, but we're very excited. We presented to our leadership team yesterday and it was well received. Got very good feedback and very constructive comments that will be incorporated as we go. But I am very, very excited to get this project launched. It's been quite a process and we're very, very proud of the work that we've done. So that's work, which I actually don't even have on my notes. I wasn't planning to talk about it, but that's all that's on my mind these days. On Saturday, this past Saturday, my husband Jimmy and I took my daughter Laura and her friend Tara to San Marcos, Texas, which is about 2.5 hours away. We went to visit Texas State University for their open house. They have, you know, a couple per year. They call it Bobcat Day. So we attended several information sessions about various topics, toured a dorm, ate some lunch. It was a good day. It was pretty exhausting, but not too bad. We got up early and left here about 6 and got to San Marcos about 8:30, I guess. Yeah, about 8:30. A little after that, actually, because we did stop at, Bucky's, which is a huge, convenience store. But we attended several sessions. Jimmy and I were very impressed. It's not as big as some of the state universities. University of Texas has about 55,000 students, and this one has about 35,000. So significantly smaller, but still fairly large, compared to Appalachian State, which we saw this summer, which only has about 15,000 students. But this is the smallest Texas school we've looked at. As far as cost goes, you know, it's college, it's going to be expensive, but they had really good aid packages, so we're hoping for, you know, it is sort of our decision because we're the ones paying, but it's really Laura's decision, and she's got great grades and great scores, and, you know, we'll just have to see what happens once she gets all her applications in, which need to light a fire under that girl. Anyway, so we did that, and we stopped. After the tour, we went to a place called Gil's Broiler, I think it's called, for a hamburger on the recommendation of a friend of ours. Honestly, we weren't that impressed. The burgers were okay. I mean, they weren't, and it wasn't expensive. It was just okay. We were kind of expecting something a little bit more impressive, but it was fine. We had, you know, a decent lunch, and then we went a couple of doors down and had some ice cream. Had really good caramel sea salt ice cream. That was worth it. It tasted homemade. It had that really soft consistency that a homemade ice cream has. So we did that, and then we drove back. And so we left about 6 in the morning, and we're home by about 5:30. So kind of a whirlwind day. So that is other than work, that's really all I've been up to. Oh, no, that's not true. On Sunday night, we went with some friends to see Cheryl Wheeler in concert at the Mucky Duck here in Houston, which is a very intimate live music venue. Very small. I mean, I've mentioned it before in the podcast. When we went and saw Dar Williams last year, and then I don't know if I mentioned when we went to see Lucy Kaplansky earlier this year, but when we go to see live music, this is typically where we go. Unless it's a big concert. But this was nice. I had my second bathroom encounter. That sounds weird. Don't get any strange ideas, but when I went to see Lucy Kaplansky, I made a wrong turn towards the bathroom right as she was walking out of the green room, and she led me to the bathroom, which that was kind of cool, but, you know, I wasn't 100% sure that that's who it was until she got on the stage, because I'd never seen her live before. But this time, as I was leaving the bathroom stall to wash my hands, Cheryl Wheeler walked into the bathroom. Like I said, this is an intimate venue, and she's, you know, very distinctive. You know, there was no doubt that that's who that was. And I just smiled and, you know, didn't want to bother her. But I think that's funny. Now I've, you know, my two bathroom encounters at the Mucky Duck. But the concert was very good. If you're not familiar with Cheryl Wheeler, she is a female singer-songwriter, and she's, I mean, her music is great, but you haven't really experienced her unless you've seen her live. She is very, very funny. She is a great storyteller. And Sunday night, she was in rare form. I mean, it was just, she was so funny and making jokes, and it was a really fun evening. And considering that I was starting off a week that was sure to be very stressful, which honestly, it hasn't been that stressful. It's been exciting more than stressful, but it was a really nice way to kick off the week. So that is what I've been up to. Finished objects. Let's get into the knitting. I only have one finished object, but it was a significant one. I won't say a big one because it wasn't big, but it was significant. I finished the mittens that I was working on last week. I used the pattern by Susan B. Anderson, the Waiting for Winter mittens. Excuse me. And I made these using my hand spun. I made them out of, it was spun right round 100% Falkland in the Pegasus colorway, which was very peachy with some blue-gray into a deeper blue. And it was awesome. I talked about this in last week's episode. I raved about the mittens. And this is one of the projects, while it was very small, I am just so incredibly proud of it. The fact that I spun the yarn and they turned out so pretty. And when we went to the concert on Sunday, I gifted them to my friend who they were intended for. She and her husband are leaving today actually to go to Vermont to visit another friend of ours. And her birthday is coming up. So I took advantage of the fact that she was taking a trip to make these mittens for her and have them for her before her trip. And it was so funny because I have given her enough hand knits now that she kind of expects it. So even though it was still a few weeks before her birthday, we got to the show and I had this wrap package and she said, "What is that?" And I gave it to her and said, "It's for you." And before she even opened it, she barely had even felt it. She said, "Is this for Vermont?" And I'm like, "Yes, it is." So she opened it and she was absolutely thrilled and the mittens fit her perfectly, which considering I've got very, very small hands, I've got kid hands, honestly. Since they were a surprise, I hadn't been able to measure. I used Jimmy's hands as a gauge because he's got fairly small hands for a man. I mean, I would say they are a little larger than a medium-sized woman's hand. And Kathy has fairly large hands for a woman, but I mean, not huge hands. You know, so they were comparable. So I had Jimmy try them on after I finished them to see if they were in the ballpark. And they were, so I felt fairly comfortable. But yes, they fit her perfectly. And I let her know that I had spun the yarn. I just wanted her to know that they were special. And she was very, very appreciative. She is very, very knit worthy. She's very artistic herself, so she understands the value of a handmade product. So that was very gratifying. I enjoyed gifting as much as she enjoyed being gifted, I think. So that is my only finished object. My other whips, honestly, I've been so busy this week that I've done a lot of knitting, but I haven't worked on a whole variety of stuff. I've gotten a few squares on the sock yarn blanket done, but not as many as I needed to. I just haven't had the time. I never mentioned that what pattern I'm using. As are so many people, I'm using the Shelley King pattern for the sock yarn blanket. It's a free pattern. You can just search Shelley King sock yarn blanket. I think it's ShelleyKing.com or something. I'm not exactly sure, but if you search Shelley King sock yarn, you'll find the blanket. Very easy pattern. But I worked on that, and then I worked on the Olympic Forest baby blanket, which is a pattern by Very Busy Monkey, and I'm using Barocco Vintage in a kind of lime green color on that. I've stayed on track with that. I don't know if I would say I've got quite a bit done. I can generally do 2 to 3 rounds per night, but that is getting harder. I've mentioned that I'm doing this project for the Harry Potter Knit and Crochet House Cup, and I have deadlines on this. So I have to finish Chart 2 by October 31st to make my 50% mark for that. And it's going to be a struggle to get that done. I think I did 4 rounds in the car on Saturday when we were traveling. And I've managed to do 2 to 3 rounds most nights, but there have also been at least 1 or 2 nights where I've only gotten 1 round done, just because I've been so busy and so tired. But at this point, you know, I will calculate every couple of nights just to make sure I'm on track, and I've stayed on track as long as I can get 2 rounds most nights and 3 rounds, you know, a couple of nights, I think that I will be able to hit that mark. Last night I reached the portion of the second chart where it's starting to do a little bit of cabling, so it's going to get a little more interesting. So hopefully that will keep me going. It kept me going last night because I had done 2 rounds, and that third round had that first small cable, and I wanted to do that. So I went ahead and did it, but I was up until past 10:30. It's gotten to the point where it's taking me probably 30 minutes to get through one round. It's not that I'm not enjoying it. It's just that I'm not having any time for anything else. Once I get past the chart two for my deadline, chart three does not have as many rounds. I mean, but of course it's bigger. I could probably get away with 1 to 2 rounds per night as long as I can make up some over the weekends. So I'm hoping that once I get that done, or get to that point, I'll be able to get some other projects going as well. So the only other thing, that's pretty much the only thing I've worked on. I've worked on the sock yarn blanket and the Olympic Forest baby blanket at home. I don't think I've picked up any other project other than the mittens. Obviously, I worked on the mittens. At work, I'm still working on the checked and squared socks from Sock Architecture by Laura Neal, or Lara Neal. I'm not sure how she says her name. I've heard it both ways. I'm using Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Snapdragon colorway, which is a spring green and bright pink and white. And these are turning out really pretty. I'm not making a lot of progress on these. Even at work, I'm so absorbed in the project that I'm working on that I haven't been taking as many breaks and I haven't been taking as long lunches. I just kind of want to get back to my desk and keep plugging away at what I'm doing. Not to mention, I mean, that's kind of how I've wanted to work, but it's also been, there's so much to do that I just kind of felt like I didn't have the luxury to take two 15-minute breaks per day. So I've taken, most days I'll get one break in, and then maybe a little bit of time at lunch. But I am still on sock one. I am pretty close to the toe. I left it at work, so I can't measure, but I'm probably within an inch of doing the toe. So I will probably bring those home this weekend, get the first one finished. Clearly, I am not going to get the second sock done by the end of the month, which is a little bit of a bummer. I've been pretty good about getting my monthly socks done within that month. This is only the third sock out of 10 that I haven't finished within the month. I'm okay with that, but I don't know. Next year, I don't think I'm going to do the one sock per month plan. I am enjoying doing it, but I think I'm not over sock knitting by any means. I just think I want some more variety, and especially in what I'm working on at work. The other thing that I've done just a tiny bit on, well, not a tiny bit on, but I worked on my Knitted Heart vanilla socks in the car also on Saturday. I'm trying to remember if I did any on Sunday. I don't think so. No. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I didn't do car knitting on those socks, I don't think, but I did work on those in a couple of the information sessions that we attended just because I could. The first session that we went to was for the education department, because as I mentioned, we went with one of Laura's friends and that's what she was interested in. So we went to that session and it was interesting because, well, Jimmy is a teacher and Eli has expressed interest in being a teacher. So kind of getting you from that perspective, it was good. But as far as needing to pay close attention to details, I didn't need to. And the way it was set up, it was, auditorium style seating. I don't know if how familiar you are with college classrooms and college classroom setups, but this is one of the classrooms. It had, I guess you would say, kind of stadium style seating or auditorium style seating. So it's tiered with a long table stretched across the front. And it also has I don't know what you call that, but I don't know what you call that. You've got the table, but then you've got on the back side of the table, it's got not a cover, but like a desk, how you've got that back side, the back of the desk, it's kind of got that. So I could sit with the knitting in my lap And the person who was speaking couldn't see that I was knitting because I didn't want to be disrespectful. But I was able to get a little bit done in that class. I didn't do very much, not that class, in that session. I didn't do very much, but then in the financial aid session, which was a bigger session, and honestly, I didn't really care. Plus, the knitting kept me calm while we were talking about college cost. I managed to get quite a bit done. I think I'm about, oh gosh, I've forgotten now, 13 or 23 rows away from the toe on sock 2 on that one. And oh, and for those, I'm using Sock Bunny Studios in the Candy Corn colorway and in her BFL blend. It's a miracle, her miracle base. I don't think Kimberly has been dying recently, but you might be able to find some on a D-stash. I really like these socks. I don't know that I'll finish them before Halloween, which is kind of a bummer, but maybe I will. We were supposed to go to Austin this weekend. Jimmy is still going, but I'm not going, so I don't have the car knitting time that I thought I would have to finish those up. So what I'll need to do is remember to get them out of the car so that he doesn't take them with him. So that is all of the works in progress that I have worked on. Spinning, I don't think I've done any spinning this week, and I'm kind of sad about that. I would really like to do some, and maybe I will have time this weekend to do some. And I have so much. I want to finish what I'm working on so that I can move on to something else. I just don't have time to have more than one spinning project on the needle or on the spindle right now. Cross-stitch, I am still working on the 12 Days of Christmas sampler by the Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery. I finished the fourth square last night, theoretically. However, am going back over, there's a lot of white, and while I didn't, the pattern recommends not using white fabric because there's a lot of white in it and you'll lose the stitch, not lose the stitches, but they will get lost on the background. So I chose one that was, I think it was oatmeal colored, so it wasn't white, thinking it would be better, but the white really still doesn't show up very well. So I'm going over the white with a half stitch of light gray. I'm not sure, first of all, I'm not sure it helps very much, and second of all, since the white is snow in a lot of cases, I'm not sure that it kind of makes it look like dirty snow. So I don't know, I may end up going and ripping that out. It's a little frustrating, because I feel like I'm working on this, and there's not a lot, you can't really see my progress. But I am plugging along at that. I think I mentioned last week I'm working the border as I go. So the next thing up will be to work the top of the fourth block is a corner. So I'll do the top and the side of that. So that is all of my works in progress total. Enabling and acquisitions, I received some sock yarn scraps from Jill Serenity. I met Jill at Into the Wool, and she offered to send me some of her leftovers. So I got those. I think I actually got those last week, but forgot to mention it. So thank you, Jill. I'm pretty sure you listen. I know you listen because you knew I needed scraps. I just don't know if you listen to every episode. I really appreciate it. I also got, yesterday, a coworker of mine brought me the remains of a skein of, I think it was Barocco sock. I didn't pay too close attention, but just some leftovers that she had for me to work into the blanket, which was very nice. And the only thing I have purchased that I have received is I got this before I recorded last week, but forgot to mention it. I ordered some fiber from Unwind Yarn Company. I have ordered lots of yarn. Well, I won't say lots of yarn from her, but I've ordered yarn from her before, but I've never tried her fiber. So when she had an update on October 7th where 10% of her profits or proceeds, 10% went to Silly Frew's medical care. And I wanted to participate in that. And I bought the skein of fiber. And it is a braid of merino wool and silk in the evergreen colorway, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I was with everything else this week. I just kind of gave it a cursory glance. I opened it and said, oh, pretty, and put it back. But it is dark green. I can't even do it justice in describing it right now. Hold on just a minute. Let me go grab it. Okay. So it is basically just a lot of shades of green. It goes, there's some, it almost looks like undyed, but I think it's probably just a very, very pale green that is overdyed with from like forest green, and it looks like there's even almost a little olive green in there. It is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely my colors for sure. I love green. I cannot wait to spin this, but oh, it's the last one I received, which means it's going to be a long time before I get to this one. So pretty. So pretty. Anyway, so that is my only purchase that I have received. I did purchase some Desert Vista Dye Works that has shipped. So hopefully that will get here soon. I can talk about that next week. Giveaways. Let's talk about giveaways. I still have open the giveaway for the Twist Fiber Studio Kickstarter. And as a reminder, this Ashley, who is Carolina Spinner, has launched a Kickstarter for her fiber business, which is Twist Fiber Studio. And the link to her Kickstarter is in, it's in the Ravelry group. I believe it's in the top of the, I can look real quick. I think I have it in the giveaway thread, the top of that thread. Let me just make sure. Da-da-da. Yes. If you go to the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry group and go to the Twist Fiber Studio giveaway thread, the first post has a link to her Kickstarter page. Ashley has made her first goal. She made that the day she launched. But she has a couple of stretch goals that she's trying to reach. There are 9 days left in the Kickstarter. She has added a couple of rewards at the $80 level, $80 or more level, which are for the Surprise Perfect Pair Deluxe Project Bag Set, which is bag, yarn, and fiber. And that will be, there's not a picture of it, but it will be something lovely. You can look at the other pictures, the pictures of her other perfect pair sets and get an idea of the type of work she does. And you know, no matter what you get, it's going to be lovely. So to enter the giveaway, all you need to do is go visit her Kickstarter page, take a look at the perfect pair sets that she has posted pictures of, and let me know which one is your favorite. I was looking today because I never actually told y'all which one is my favorite. And I'm going to look at this again while I'm on this. She has gone up just since I was here earlier. She's met a $10,000 goal. Congratulations, Ashley. That's fantastic. It was at 9,000 something just a little while ago when I looked. That's such great news. Oh, that was her third stretch goal. So really, congratulations, Ashley. She's met her third stretch goal. So now what she'll be able to do, in addition to fulfilling rewards, she will be able to purchase additional dyeing and skeining equipment. So that's really great news. So looking through these project bags, I think my favorite, I really like Coraline because it's got these kind of rose colors and greens and like golden colors. I also really like... I like the colors in Eveline, but the fabric is not my style. The blues and greens in that are lovely. And I also like Penelope. Again, it's the green, but with the pops of color. And again, I really, really like Serafina. I really like the colors. Again, the fabric isn't my style in the bag, but I really, really love the colors in that. They're just these bright, more jewel tones than some of the other ones. Lovely. So, let me know which one is your favorite. I'd love to hear it. And I'd love for you to have a chance to win. We have, let's see how many entries we have so far. We have got 14 entries so far. So your chances aren't bad. What else? Okay, Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. I have, we are in the fourth quarter for this. So get your projects in. Anything you enter between October and the end of December will be entered for the quarterly prize, which will be winner's choice of either a $10 or less pattern from Ravelry, $10 gift certificate to an online shop of your choice, or the equivalent in whatever your currency is. And, or if you are in the U.S., I will purchase something of your choices, $10 or less, and cover the shipping on that and send it your way. And I think the only benefit of that, since there is also the $10 gift certificate choice, is if there's something from a shop that does not offer a gift certificate, but something that you know that you really want that's in that price range, I'm more than willing to send that. The grand prize, which will be anybody who has entered at all this year between January and the end of December, will be eligible for this prize. The grand prize will be a bag from Absolute Wonder and a Notions pouch. And I actually forgot to ask, I don't know if she's going to do a zipper, one of her wedge bags, or if she's going to do a drawstring bag. So I'll let her post in the group and let us know. Can you do that, Mom? I have seen the fabric that she chose for that, and I think the winner is going to really, really like what she chooses. I still need to chime in on my opinions. Although I will say right now to a free spirit who is my mom that I am perfectly happy with whatever combination you choose. I have the hardest time deciding. I know what looks good on the outside and putting together, trying to coordinate the outer fabric with the inner fabric. It's just, I don't see it as well. So whatever you choose is fine. So that is all the knitting. Let's move on to in the kitchen. I didn't go into details about the knit along. I'm sorry. Anything that you are intending for a winter holiday is eligible. Any crafting, any winter holiday, decoration, ornament, gift, anything that you can make fit into that category is eligible for entry in that. In the kitchen. I, again, have been so busy that I have not spent a whole lot of time in the kitchen, but I did do a couple of experiments last week. I resubscribed to Food Network magazine after a hiatus. I subscribed on my iPad. They have a really nice iPad app. And I think when I unsubscribed, the iPad was still pretty new and the app possibilities were not quite as, robust. And their app at the time was just not very good. It was just like flipping through a magazine. There wasn't anything interactive about it, and the experience wasn't great for me. They have definitely improved their app now. It is really cool. I won't say it's interactive, but it's much easier to navigate, and there are cool things like, I mean, you could bookmark before. But the way it worked was the bookmark stayed with each issue. Now, if you have multiple issues, anything you've bookmarked and anything in any issue will show up in your bookmarks tab. So that's very helpful because I'm not going to remember what magazine something was in. And that's part of why I've gotten rid of print subscriptions, because I will look through them, but I'm not going to remember that I want to go use this particular issue, which had this recipe. So this is great. They also have it also has a clippings feature, which I haven't used yet, but that was pretty clever. So if, you know, I bookmarked several pages, but if there was only one recipe I wanted on that page, rather than just bookmark the whole page, I could go in and just clip out that recipe, which is really cool. Anyway, I wanted to try a few recipes. I bookmarked several, but for last week, I just wanted to try a couple, and I'll tell you about them. The first one that I tried, and these were both kind of pushing my comfort level just a little bit. The first one definitely was not something I would typically make, and it was very good. It was a root vegetable salad with fried eggs, and it was carrots. You roast carrots and parsnips. It's supposed to have red onions in there, but if you know me at all, I do not like onions, so of course I left that out. So I roasted, you dice them. I think I would do them in slightly bigger chunks next time. And I don't know why. I think it would be better. But you roast the carrots and the parsnips. This was only the second time I've ever had parsnips. The first time was last May when I was at my brother's house, and my sister-in-law had roasted parsnips for dinner. And I was being brave and decided to try them and really liked them. So I decided this sounded very good. So you roast the carrots and the parsnips. You fry some bacon and you crumble it up. You mix the carrots and the parsnips and the bacon. I don't remember if there was anything else in there. I just don't remember. But you mix it basically with a vinaigrette dressing. You mix that up really good, and you toss it with, it calls for arugula or mixed greens, and I just use some mixed greens. Toss it up really well, and then you top it with a fried egg. It was so good. The only thing, and this is going to surprise people who know me well, the only thing I would have done different was actually used more greens. Because you put the warm parsnips and bacon on there, it kind of wilts the greens just a little bit, so it ended up not as much as it seemed like it was going to be. The only reason I didn't use more is because really my bowl wasn't big enough for all of that tossing. So maybe I just need to get a bigger bowl. But I was really surprised at how good that was. Laura did not like it that much. And it wasn't, what she told me was that she really wanted to like it, that it sounded good, but she didn't like, it had, because of the vinaigrette and of course the sweetness of the roast vegetables, she didn't like the savory and sweet combination, which I really liked. But Eli liked it a lot. Jimmy liked it. I probably won't cook it again, or, you know, it wasn't hard, but it was, there were a lot of steps. It wasn't hard, and it didn't take a long time, but it was a little bit more effort than I want for something that I know that one of my family members just didn't like that much. I say I wouldn't do it again, but then I remember that Laura will be going off to college next year. So maybe I will make it again. What I learned about it though was that this is something that I would eat. Like if I were at a restaurant and they had something like this, I would be willing to try it. I'm very proud of myself for pushing my boundaries and cooking something that was a little bit out of my comfort zone. And this was a very good recipe. Highly recommended. The other thing that I cooked out of that magazine last week was braised chicken thighs with olives and potatoes, and this one was not as successful. It wasn't bad. I just did not like cooking it at all. You cook bone and skin on chicken thighs in a Dutch oven, and one thing, I guess my Dutch oven, I have a big Calphalon pan that I use as a Dutch oven. I don't know if they called it a Dutch oven, but I think the bottom circumference is just not big enough, because the recipe called for 8 chicken thighs, and I could only fit 7, and so I ended up wasting a thigh. And I know I could have stuck it in the freezer, but I had already salted and peppered it, and it was really frustrating. But you cook that, you sear it, and I'm short. So doing this on the stove, we've got this Dutch oven that I'm trying to get in to manipulate the chicken. It was just not good. And the recipe, I think I was cooking it too high. So it was splattering like crazy. And I was afraid of burning myself. I really don't like fire or splattering grease. I mean, who likes splattering grease? But I'm like really jumpy around it. This is why I like baking better than cooking. It tells you to cook the chicken on high on both sides, so you know, for a few minutes per side, and then to add the garlic, with sliced garlic, you to add that and do it, but it doesn't tell you to turn the heat down. Well, if anybody's ever cooked with garlic, if you cook garlic in a very hot pan, it's going to cook really quickly and burn. And burned garlic does not really taste that great. So that's what happened. And then I added some other stuff. Basically, I was cooking it too hot, and that ruined the whole experience for me. I had to call Jimmy in to help me because he's, for one, taller and just a little bit more willing to get splattered with grease. But the idea behind this was good. You've got the braised, you've got the chicken, and then you cook, you're supposed to cook olives and carrots and potatoes. Or you do the olives and carrots and then do some other stuff, and then you add potatoes at the end, put the chicken back in, and let it simmer for about 20 minutes. I forgot the carrots. Even though I had them, I just forgot to put them in. And by the time I had the potatoes and the olives and whatever else in there with the chicken on top of it, there was not room for carrots. So clearly I need a bigger pan. I need a bigger bowl for the salad. I need a bigger pan for the stove. So it was okay. We ate it. It was edible. It was not worth making it again. If I were to have had a bigger pan, and if I were to have cooked it at a lower heat, I think that it would have been better. But I don't think I'll do this one again. Let's see. I did do a little bit of baking. I made some chocolate chip muffins on Sunday. I've talked about them before. It's the recipe from Sally's baking addiction. I'm sure I've talked about them in the past. Very good recipe. Planning to do some baking this week. I may do some tonight and tomorrow night. Since we have our big website launch on Friday, I would like to bring some baked goodies to celebrate with my coworkers, for appreciation for some of the coworkers that have helped out over the past few months, giving us feedback and testing things. And so that is my plan. And I also plan to go out for a big celebration dinner on Friday night. I wasn't sure. The original plan was to go to Austin Friday night, and I wanted to celebrate in Austin, but I wasn't sure how that was going to work. If we were leaving after work, we wouldn't get there till late. But now that Jimmy is going by himself, he is probably going to just do a day trip, which means he should be here Friday night, so we get to go on a date. I'm not sure he knows that yet. So that is it for me this week. It is time for me to get to work. I am going to work my little tushy off today to try to get everything done that I needed to get done. So thanks for joining me this morning. Thanks for letting me chat before I go into my crazy day. And I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.